Naomi Wolf and her team at the Daily Clout submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the Centers for Disease Control, requesting all emails sent and received by Dr. Rochelle P. Walensky, Sherry A. Berger, and Kevin Griffiths between the dates of February 1st and May 31st of 2021 containing the word myocarditis. They received hundreds of pages showing that the White House and the entire COVID response team knew that the COVID vaccines were killing people and causing blood clots, heart attacks, and myocarditis. They also received 46 additional pages that were not requested. Of these 46 pages, over 80% of them were fully redacted and involved the White House and the Executive Office of the President. These redacted emails were labeled draft White House script and some tough Q&A. They knew in the spring of 2021 that these shots were killing people.
I've said over and over, and I don't mean to belabor this, but to remind everyone, when Steve says, how could this happen? I always say from my experience working around a White House that it can't happen unless the boss says it has to. Or that it can. You can't kill Americans, I've said this so many times on this show, knowingly without the okay of the president. So I knew that up the chain of command, the White House had to be involved in these decisions. But we just didn't have the smoking gun. Now we have the smoking gun. You remember we have 200 volunteer lawyers. So one of these lawyers' name is Ed Berkovich, and he FOIA'd, meaning sent a Freedom of Information Act demand to the CDC about myocarditis. And something very interesting happened. He got 472 pages from the CDC in response to that FOIA. He was also given an additional 46 pages, which he didn't ask for. And these additional 46 pages, over 80% of the pages were fully redacted. The redactions were, quote, pursuant to 5 USC 552 exemptions 5 and 6. What is redacted was solicited or shared with the president or his most senior advisors. They know it's happening. The other thing they're freaking out about is myocarditis. They know it's happening. The evidence came in, the updates came in, and the American people are going to be asking questions or starting to ask questions. So they convene a set of crisis meetings, basically, in which they're basically trying to formulate a press response. These are all press people. They crafted a media response. And by the way, there are people who deal with broadcast news as well in that list. And the media response doesn't tell the truth after May of 2021. They rolled out myocarditis. And remember what they said always: extremely rare, mild, resolves. Extremely rare, mild, resolves. They knew that they were lying. And they said nothing about the clotting issue, from what I recall. So basically, they created from this set of crisis communications, directed by the White House, with the White House's most senior advisors, the COVID-19 response project, which was overseen by the White House, at the behest of the White House, to create a media response that you experienced all of 2021, all of 2022, to get you to keep injecting this into your body and injecting it into the bodies of your loved ones. And they knew that they were lying, and they knew that they were hurting people with blood clots, platelet problems, and heart damage. And that's what they did, and that's what happened.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Owen Schroyer here, ladies and gentlemen, the host of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. And I am coming to you on a pre-recorded message to start today's transmission, because there's some important information I want to tell you before I hand over the reins to our great guest host, Royce White. Now, let me just make one thing clear. There is no place I would rather be than right here with you. And I think my commitment to the InfoWar and to our mission for truth and justice in pursuit of saving the republic and truth and justice in it has been presented beyond a reasonable doubt. And for the last 3 weeks specifically, I have been working about 15 hours per day dealing with my legal stuff, some personal stuff, and of course my duties here at InfoWars, which are increased when Alex Jones is out. And because of that, I've had to put a lot of things on the back burners in my personal life. Some family matters, some personal matters, some life maintenance, literal house maintenance, a lot of things going on that I have just not prioritized because of the workload that I have put forth dealing with my legal stuff, dealing with my InfoWars work, and probably doing 20 or 30 interviews throughout that process as well. Now, to be clear, I love this. I live for this. There is nowhere I'd rather be than right here with the InfoWars crew and right here with the InfoWars audience every day. And because of that, I have put other things that need to be a priority back on the list. And so for the next 3 days, I am going to be out of studio, and we're going to be having great guests host for you on those 3 days. So I hope you will stay tuned in to hear from our great guest hosts, and I'll be talking more about that in a second. Now, the problem is there's never a good time to take off. There's never a good time to leave the InfoWar. There's never a good time to take off work. And you might say, well, gee, why would you take off now with all the stuff developing? Yeah, that's a great point, but I've put so much life maintenance stuff and priority stuff behind me that really I just have no choice. I have to deal with this stuff now. And considering that the government is now demanding that I turn myself into jail on October 24th, it's even more important now that I take care of this stuff before I am potentially incarcerated. Now, as a quick legal update, yes, the government is demanding I turn myself into prison on the 24th of October. That's a 60-day sentence. I'll have more news and developments on that as the time comes and as myself and my lawyer get to review the turn-in date and some of the other factors going into that. We are also in the appeals process. Now, we are expecting to hear from the government before the end of the week as far as what the status of my appeal will be. Now, if they take the appeal, that's going to be a process. If they don't take the appeal, we have other methods to try to push back against what we believe is not just an unjust sentence, but government overreach and a violation of my First Amendment in more ways than one. Now, I will say this, even though I am taking these next days off, when there is a legal update, I will be calling in and I will be making sure that you get every legal update that's going on as it develops this week, because I am expecting there to be multiple updates dealing with my case as this week goes on. So I will be calling in when those things take place, but I will not be on studio. So I want to also say this. It's not just that I love being here and I love the audience and I love the crew. Quite frankly, I feel like I owe everything to this audience and to this crew, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I've been completely censored off the internet. I am one of the most banned men in America, and I am now one of the most politically persecuted men in America. But thanks to your continued support at InfoWarsStore.com, your continued support sharing the links to this show, cutting the segments from this show, uploading it to your social media, I'm still able to speak. I'm still able to have a platform, which the U.S. government argues is millions of people. Now, of course, they try to use that against me. I consider that a great honor that the things I say and the things I do when I do live transmissions and when I do reporting from the field as a journalist, that it's worthy enough for you to tune in and continue to support. So I feel that I owe it all to you. And quite frankly, not just when you continue to support me do I get more committed, but the more the corrupt government rears its ugly head, whether against me or just everything the Biden administration is doing to destroy this country, I get more committed and I get more dedicated in our mission to save the republic, to save truth, to save justice, and to save freedom and prosperity in America. Now, it's also something I commit to, that whenever you support me, I don't lay down and get comfortable. I get taller. I get louder. And so you've continued to support me at defendowen.com, and you've seen the results. I've now filed cease and desists against digital impersonators that are stealing my digital identity and defaming me on the internet. I have issued a cease and desist to X to also remove this person and restore my original account at All I Do Is Owen. And of course, this appeal process that might end up at the Supreme Court isn't going to be cheap either. But you've supported me at defendowen.com. I'm not going to lay down and get comfortable like leftists do when they grift off of these fundraisers. I'm going to show you my dedication and commitment by even getting hardened and doing even more of what it is you want me to do. You've also supported me in my media career so much that I've committed to even doing more to expand my media footprint and get more truth journalism out there. And so you may have seen some of this with my work at rumble.com/Owen. And there's also a Twitter account because I now have a personal social media team that is starting other accounts to increase not just my footprint, but the work we do here at InfoWars, like the account at Owen Schroyer 1776. They want to criminalize me saying 1776. So I hired a team to make an account at Owen Schroyer 1776. Now, this is not run by me personally. This is a social media team that I'm now hiring and working with, just like the legal team that I'm now hiring and working with. So this is me paying it forward for your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, as I hand the reins over to Royce White, who I am so happy to have guest hosting for me, I just want to say this because every once in a while, this will happen where a guest host will fill in for me and people will say, hey, your guest host said this, your guest host said that. Folks, I'm not looking for a cult of thought here. In fact, if you disagree with a thing that my guest host says, I'm actually glad. That's part of the reason why I love talk radio. I love disagreeing with the hosts. It sharpens my mind. But here's what we need to understand. The guest hosts that come in and host here, we all have the same vision. We all have the same mission. We might have different paths of getting there, but I appreciate all my guest hosts. And even if they do say something that you might disagree with, that's a good thing. That is a good thing, and it sharpens your mind, and it sharpens your acumen. And by the way, we're not in a cult. If we all thought the same way, we would be. So it's good to have some diversity of thought. So it's going to be Royce White taking over today. And again, I'm not only grateful for Royce White guest hosting for me, I know he's going to do a great job, but I'm also grateful because he's been one of the voices that supported me in the political persecution against me. So I'm going to be silent as far as on-air hosting for the next 3 days. I will be providing any legal updates via the phone when they come down. I will miss you. I can't wait to be back. But for the time being, I sign off and I hand the reins over to Royce White.
Thank you, Owen. I appreciate the handoff, and what an incredible, incredible honor it is to be able to fill in and host for 3 hours. You got me. Wow, I've never done a show for 3 hours, especially here on this legendary InfoWars platform, filling in for the great Owen Schroyer. Owen is under political persecution from the most corrupt regime in American history. And again, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to talk to his audience. We're going to get into a lot today. We're going to answer some fundamental and philosophical questions about our citizenship, as we so often try to do when I guest host. We're going to talk about some other things as well, and including Maui. And I really want to pose a question when it comes to Russia and the Ukraine war and a few other things regarding this October the 3rd emergency broadcast test to prepare all of you for what may be the most dangerous time in American history. Thank you, Owen, and I'll see you guys on the other side of the break for the next 3 hours. Godspeed. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. I am your guest host, Royce White, also known as Morpheus, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, filling in for the great Owen Schroyer. And again, I appreciate Owen and Alex and the entire InfoWars team for allowing me to host on the platform whenever I get to host on the platform. But for 3 hours today is surely a pleasure and an honor. Strap in. I want to talk about a number of things, and I want to say thank you again to Owen, and we're praying for you and support you in your fight against these tyrannical kangaroo courts. Let's start here. Let's start with a simple question. Freedom or convenience? That is one of the most pertinent questions every American citizen must answer. Are we going to prioritize freedom, or are we going to accept the perceived benefit of convenience. What do I mean by this? And let's talk about the conservative message for a moment, since I am running for United States Senate here in the state of Minnesota against the globalist puppet, Amy Klobuchar. We need to work on the conservative message in many ways. I think the Republican Party's brand is certainly broken in terms of winning elections, although the elections and the security of the elections are in question, no doubt, to say the very least. Not only are they in question, all signs and all roads look like they point to the corruptions, the elections being rigged. We have to deal with a multitude of problems at one time. And that may be hard. That may be, tough to swallow. That may be something that you don't want to have to confront. But if we're going to save the republic, like Owen suggested, we will have to deal with a multitude of problems at one time in one run. And it's time to get to work on them. So the election integrity is an issue that we need to solve. And we need to come together in the movement behind the scenes and figure out what's the best strategy to solve that, because there's definitely some discord on that front. Maybe the next time I host InfoWars, we'll talk about election integrity and bring some different minds in to give us their opinion on how we can potentially solve that. Obviously, going back to written ballots would be one reasonable step, but that's for another day. I've said before, and I'll say again, that this next election, as well as the last election in 2020, in some ways is just as much spiritual and cultural as it is mathematical and material. And what do I mean by that? I mean, there's the election and who wins at the end, who's declared the winner. But we all know it's not about who votes for who. It's about who counts the votes. That's just a fact of any type of democratic process. The people who count the votes are just as important as the people who vote. It's not just about who comes out and who is declared the winner at the end of an election. There is also a spirit, there's a sort of memory that's taken away from any given election. And what we have to do in the Republican Party, those of us who are conservatives, who are Christians, who are libertarians, who are America First, however you want to identify yourself on this side of the fence, for those of us who are in broad ideological and political alignment, must decide to market, to brand the conservative movement in a way such that if we are cheated in the 2024 elections, if the election is rigged, if the election is stolen, American people will walk away with the sense that they too were cheated. Right now, we don't have that. Right now, we have an American populace that is greatly asleep at the wheel, and when elections are stolen or rigged or when cheating occurs, everybody assumes that the ballots that come in after midnight are Democrat. Why? Well, mostly they use black people to deliver that message. Black people are the revolving door to justify the rigging of American elections. And as such, not only are black people in a unique position to save the republic, but everybody who has the opportunity to minister to black America ahead of this election is in one of the most important positions of any citizen in American history. And make no mistake about it, this is what they're lining up to do. When I go to the Federal Register, when I go and read official government documentation about automatic voter registration, where if you just have a driver's license, you can automatically register to vote. And I see that 23 states now have automatic voter registration. And I count and I do the math and I see 287 electoral votes in those 20 some states. I see them lining up to take an election. Now, me even saying that is considered domestic terrorism of sorts. It's considered a threat to national security. And it depends on what you think national security means. If you think national security is being a tributary state to China and a globalist agenda, then I guess I would be a threat to national security. If you think that national security is actually having control of your elections that are in service to the will of the American people, American citizens, and the overall value of American citizenship, then their rigging of elections or the insecurity of the elections would actually be a matter of national security. Just depends on what side of the street you're on. We're very clear about what side of the street we're on our side. And so we have to minister. We have to figure out how we can help American citizens understand wherever they may be, the implications of this election and the implications of stolen elections, because stolen elections have consequences. Nobody can deny or argue or debate that stolen elections have consequences. And we're seeing a lot of those consequences right now. We're seeing them at our border, of course. You can't have a country if you don't have a border. You're not a country. And there are those out there in our political elite class, those in D.C. like Amy Klobuchar, who want to try and promote this borderless society, that there is any reasonable ambition for global governance, that in order for us to have any type of prosperity and well-being, we have to come under the authority of global governance. These things are not true, number one, but they're just as malicious. They are just as malicious as they are manipulative. So my focus is, you know, as somebody who is speaking, you're given the opportunity to speak to American citizens during this time, my focus is to make sure that everybody who participates in this election cycle's democratic process leaves understanding the choice they're making and understanding what it means if the will of the people is not reflected in the results at the end of the election. And we all have to do that. And where does it begin? It begins right here in the belly of the beast in a place like Minneapolis. It begins right there in Texas. It begins right there in Philadelphia. It begins right there in Atlanta, Georgia. It begins everywhere where conservatives and Christians and people who believe in a border have been scared to go. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, filling in for the great Owen Schroyer. I appreciate you guys being here this afternoon, and I look forward to sharing some ideas with you over the next few hours. Thankful to be able to host today. It's an honor. It really is. We're talking about the conservative message right now. Conservative messaging, so important going into this election cycle. So important for a number of reasons, not just for the outcome of the election on paper, which we know is just as unpredictable, about as unpredictable as you could possibly imagine. Our elections are not secure. They haven't been secure. They're so insecure, so unsecured, that the Democrats think they can make us all believe we're domestic terrorists for questioning them, when just in 2016, they questioned the integrity of the elections themselves. But that's neither here nor there. We control what we can control, and I think we should put a great amount of effort into securing our elections, which I don't think the RNC is really willing to do. I don't think that the proper factions of the Republican Party and the leaders of the conservative movement from a political standpoint are willing to do. And we'll be addressing that throughout my Senate campaign as well. This is a full-fledged war to save this republic. And there are enemies inside the wire. Now, in the Republican Party, it's not even allowed to criticize Republican leadership in many ways. It's seen as dangerous. It's dangerous to the Uniparty. It's dangerous to the outcome of preserving the status quo. That's for sure. And you'll see the Uniparty establishment Republicans rally against me and my Senate campaign against Amy Klobuchar. In fact, there are many people inside the Republican Party, officials in the Republican Party, who say Amy Klobuchar is great for the state of Minnesota. This is what we're dealing with across the country. My point is the messaging is important. And there's a fundamental problem with the conservative message from a political standpoint. And it's this fundamental issue, this fundamental philosophical issue with conservative messaging that has allowed us to stand by and watch a person like Owen become a political target, politically persecuted by tyrannical kangaroo courts. It's this type of mentality that doesn't allow us to act upon the urgency of the situation. Sure, we can all talk about how urgent the situation is, but the walk from talking and knowing to acting is a walk that must be taken. And it's not always easy to take that walk. It's why I have such great respect for Alex and the work he's continued to do for the last couple of decades, and the work that Owen has begun to do for the last decade or so. Taking the walk, not just talking, but actually doing the walk. And, you know, many people out there in the crowd, for example, would be upset that I led nonviolent public demonstrations during the George Floyd uprisings. But I ask myself, like I've asked on the show many times, whether it be here on this show or Jason Whitlock or War Room with Steve Bannon, Please Call Me Crazy, my own podcast, I ask this question often: where was everybody else? Where were the conservatives? Where were the conservatives when the mainstream media industrial complex turned on the high frequency brainwashing and ran a litmus test to see if they could control when people decided to demonstrate, when people decided to go outside? Where were we? We were in the House. We were in the House controlled by divisive messaging from a mainstream media that knows exactly what they're doing, and they know they know exactly how dangerous the unification of we the people is. And they're playing upon that division. We all know it. We all can see it. We all can sense it. And there's a part of that division that still feels good to us. And there's a place within that division that feels so good, we are willing to sacrifice American heroes like Owen Schroyer to the Leviathan. And you question my integrity? You question what I have to say on this show? When I marched 15,000 people to the Federal Reserve, 15,000 liberals that the conservatives and patriots all around the country have convinced themselves they should be afraid of, Antifa, young black men, whoever it is, I'm not afraid of these people. Why are you? Why are you allowing cucks like Sean Hannity to fill your mind with fear porn every evening on Fox News when they get ready to sell out to BlackRock and Dominion as quick as they possibly can when their feet are really put to the fire? Why are you willing to listen to them feed you fear porn every night, but you're not willing to hit the streets? And then the few good patriots, the few good men, the few good leaders, the few real, genuine defenders of American freedom hit the streets on January the 6th alongside what we should assume, which we should have expected, deep state and intelligence community influence. And we were willing to sacrifice them. We were willing to sacrifice all the great patriots. I mean, we are getting attacked on every front. We're getting attacked on every front right now. We're going to allow the division, the comfortability with division, tell us to stay put. I mean, right now, it's right now. It's right now. And in Minnesota, I don't even know if I can speak on this. Oh, there's a great video of me on the 35W bridge speaking on the bullhorn about corporatocracy to a bunch of black folks here in the city of Minneapolis. And I'm telling them, don't let them fool you into thinking this is about racism, or this is about bad police officers, or this is about, any number of things that you'll hear on Don Lemon. Don't let them fool you. This is about an establishment that means to bastardize your citizenship. And if you notice, I'm out there all alone. And that's fine. I mean, that's the duty of myself and Owen and Alex and Steve and Jason and many other political commentators of today's you know, of the day. Lonely is the road of leadership, real leadership, genuine leadership, leadership without reward, leadership with great penalty and risk. That's what we're charged to do. And now I come to you and talk about the urgency of refining the message. And let me explain this message, if I can. Somewhere in this conservative movement, somewhere in this conservative echo chamber of sorts, we accept the premise that everybody in America should wake up and be happy that they're Americans because America is such a great place. We should be thankful for what we have. The wealth and prosperity of America by comparison to the rest of the world is so great, we should wake up and be grateful. American citizens, Christians, believers, should wake up and be grateful for the miracle of life because it's a miracle within a miracle. That's what we should be grateful for. We shouldn't need any level of wealth and prosperity to be grateful in the morning. Certainly not the radical materialism that our elites have indoctrinated us with. And on the other end, we'd say that we tell the story because we've allowed BLM to hijack and basically dominate the image, the cultural narrative around public demonstration and outrage. We've allowed them to hold court there. We tell the other story that we're not oppressed. If we were not oppressed in this country, there'd be no way that an Alex Jones could be sued for $1 billion. You're oppressed. You are oppressed. And any conservative voice that tells you otherwise is either ignorant to it or in on it. And we're going to separate the two during the next couple of hours because it's the messaging that has allowed us to be so complacent. And you can say, we don't listen to Fox News. Oh, somebody's listening to Fox News. Somebody's listening to Fox News. And it's time to separate the weak from the strong. I'm hyped up today. I'm hyped up today. Your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast. Appreciate being on War Room. What we were just talking about before the break was the conservative message, and I go back to this. There's this message in the conservative movement that we all should be so happy with the prosperity and wealth of America that compared to the rest of the world, this is the greatest place to live this is the greatest place to live. Number one, I mean, and this is a Trojan horse. This is the controlled opposition narrative. I want you to be clear. When you go to a Fox News and they tell you how great America is in one segment, and then the next segment they say, but look why you should be so angry and fearful of what America is, they're kind of just insulting your intelligence, right? All in order to keep you angry, and emotional on the divisive identity of America. American citizenship, but keep you content enough with the narrative that you stay in your home with an excuse to complain all day. Again, Christians, believers in God, we do not need the prosperity and wealth of America in order to be grateful when we wake up in the morning. You should be grateful that you wake up in the morning for no other reason than you waking up in the morning. Because life and consciousness is a miracle and a gift given to you by God that is unquantifiable. You can't put a number on it. So you shouldn't put a number on it. And the other narrative, and you can hear this from an individual, you know, like Candace or some people of that ilk. And mostly they want to tell black people they're not oppressed. But sometimes they tell white, purple-haired liberals that they're not oppressed. And this is where the conservative movement falls all over itself with the messaging. Because what the Alex Joneses of the world are trying to tell you and why they never seem to get the same level of buy-in from the broad base of American citizens that use media content to jerk off. The reason why is because they're telling you the cold, hard truth. Alex Jones is telling you not only are you oppressed, you're oppressed on so many sides, you can no longer define the word oppression. No, you are oppressed. And what they want to tell you, many of these rhino globalist elites want to tell you is that the ability for an American citizen to go from poor and nothing to rich is the symbol, is the sign, is the evidence that you are not oppressed, that American citizens are not oppressed. Social mobility has become the justification to tell the American people there's nothing to worry about. As long as you can still go from nothing to something radical materialist, you can't claim that you're being oppressed. You can't say you're being oppressed. Look at your life. Look at the baseline of your life. The poor people in America have it better than the Venezuelans. My American citizenship isn't to be compared or juxtaposed to Venezuelan citizenship. My citizenship here in America isn't to be compared to citizenship in third world Asia. My citizenship is unique. American citizenship is unique. And the expectations of my government and the corporations and elite that try to preside and govern over me, it should be just as unique. Every time we go to have a conversation about oppression or tyranny or governance that's beyond the scope of reason, some conservative is running out and jumping out there saying, oh, what are you complaining about? Things aren't that bad. Same people that are telling you it'll go back to normal. It's never going back to normal now. Understand that. All of the revelations of the great Alex Jones are now coming true. It's never going back to normal. There's two options we have. We can abandon the radical materialism. We can go back to understand the roots and philosophical ideas of American citizenship and do our best to preserve what that means. Or we can allow the convenience of technocratic global governance and roll the dice with AI and re-education camps and a China-centric supply chain and everything else that they have planned for you. Vaccines unlimited. Never before in my life have I seen so many infomercials for the RSV vaccine. People been getting RSV for the last 30 years, never seen one commercial about RSV vaccine until after the COVID vaccine shit the bed. Pardon my language. The COVID vaccine is the narrative is shot, and now all of a sudden they got an RSV vaccine for you. Then it was monkeypox. Where'd the monkeypox vaccine go? Up on the shelf? What, all the homosexuals got vaccinated? I mean, what is going on here? I mean, these are basic questions we have to ask. And again, in order to answer those questions, in order to go into the belly of the beast, in order to go bring a ministry of truth into the belly of the beast, we have to try and figure out how to help people who have been greatly indoctrinated, loosely indoctrinated, or maybe indifferent about these political issues. How can we message to them? How can we help them understand? And what I'm telling you is there are rhinos within the wire. There are rhinos and Nazis within the wire that are meant to do nothing more than obstruct your ability to access Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer and Steve Bannon. I can't tell you how many people I know personally had a preconceived opinion about Steve Bannon. Sorry, Steve Jones, Alex Bannon. The two are so great and they're such good friends, I often get them mixed up. I can't tell you how many people had a preconceived opinion about Steve Bannon who had never listened to him. And I send them one interview, the PBS Frontline interview of him talking about the 2016 election run. And they come back and all say the same thing unanimously. I like Steve Bannon. This is how powerful the message has become. This and why? Is it just because people tune in to CNN and they get brainwashed by CNN? Yes, certainly, it's some of that. Is it the power of the New York Times and the newspapers of record that run what people would describe as authoritative information and sources in our country? Yeah, it's some of that. But some of it is the stupid. Cultural counter messaging from within our wire. Our pitch is better. We don't need to be silly with our rhetoric to get people to understand that kangaroo courts are dangerous, that Owen Schroyer should be able to reference 1776 whenever he wants. That's completely within the scope of freedom of speech. And at the moment where a grandiose federal government thinks they shouldn't fear the people, all of us are in danger. That's a winning message. So why do we have to go to these other weird, you know, weird things? And when I say weird, I'm not talking about Alex Jones when he goes on to say these people are blood-sucking vampires, because, hey, I mean, we have them on tape meeting and doing seances, behaving like blood-sucking vampires. I'm not that's not the weirdness I'm talking about. I'm talking about the emotional investment and divisiveness and division, cultural division. And I gave you the prime example. I talk about reparations. I talked about reparations. I've continued to talk about reparations. And right here, I can sense those in the audience that have such a preconceived opinion about reparations that they're automatically losing it. I mean, but let's just talk about it. You're already paying. I mean, let's be real clear. You are already paying. You are already saying that you're paying and that you're tired of paying, but you're not willing to take the steps necessary to create a political initiative or movement that would relieve you from that burden. You're willing to continue to pay. What? In spite? You're going to keep paying. You're going to keep paying welfare to Black people. Now you're going to pay an excessive amount of welfare for illegal immigrants. You're going to keep paying. You will continue to pay. You will continue to pay to build One Belt, One Road. You will continue to pay so that the Chinese can manufacture the antibiotics and the little lug nuts that go in our F-16s. You will continue to pay. The question is, why are you so willing to pay? Why are you so willing to pay? And why is it that anybody who pops up to suggest a policy prescription or a policy plan that would relieve you from payment, you reject it on face value? This is a form of self-loathing and self-doubt and self-hatred that the American people must shed. Your citizenship means something. It has a value to it. And until we're ready to make drastic changes and make drastic efforts, your citizenship will continue to go down the drain. I'm back at the top of the hour. Your guest host, Royce White, here in the Belly of the Beast, also known as Morpheus or the Hatchet Man to those of us in the America First populist nationalist movement. And what I've been talking about for the hour is the value of your citizenship and the unwillingness of the American people to rid themselves of any petty divisiveness, division, and animus in order to save the republic and restore the value of your citizenship. And I use reparations as an example. I don't know how many times I've talked about reparations and said, hey, this is a no cash plan. You, if you're Black out there, number one, you shouldn't want cash in a economy where your elites, the elites that you voted into office, are dead set on devaluing the currency. I don't know if many of you have ever seen those photos of those banana republics where the cash goes bust, and you'll see a guy crating around a dolly with big hay bales of cash on it because the cash is worthless. That's a reality. That can happen. Now, The interesting thing about America and our economy is the Federal Reserve is so powerful and it's so well backstopped by the American military that the Federal Reserve could continue on this economic Ponzi scheme or fake financial crisis for a long time. That may be hard for some people to understand. A financial crisis is just as much about if people believe in the crisis as if there is a real issue with the vitality of the economy that's being spoken about. And America is a great example of that. Here in America, we have been geopolitically tied to the idea of globalization economically, that our health, the health of the U.S. dollar and the health of the American economy is intrinsically tied to all these other nations. We don't need the Ukraine to be a healthy economy here in America. We don't need the Congo to be a healthy economy here in America. And we for damn sure don't need China and the CCP to have a healthy economy here in America. This is a form of politics that was sold to us by Henry Kissinger and Zygmunt Ubrzezinski, Mika's dad, and a bunch of other real politic globalists to convince us that the greatest deterrent of war would be to entangle global markets, to make everybody's economic health or economic vitality dependent on other nations. If we created this codependence of everybody's markets, then everybody would be safe and it would be a great natural deterrent to war. Well, they failed. We see that now. They failed. Didn't stop war then. It's not stopping war now. We're going to talk a little bit more about this Ukraine-Russia war on the other side, because I'm going to pose some questions that strike right at the heart, the fundamental heart of this entire war narrative or war initiative. But we'll get to that in a moment on the other side in a couple of minutes. But what I'm saying about the American economy is we have to ask basic questions. Basic questions I know we don't want to have to ask. One of them is, what's more important? Returning American manufacturing to this country, onshoring our supply chains and American manufacturing, which is now a matter of national security, which is unequivocally a matter of national security, or should we keep getting our Z-Packs from China? Should we keep getting medicine and pharmaceuticals from China? Essential pharmaceuticals. These are the questions we have to answer. What's the fastest way to onboard manufacturing back to this country? Some of you conservatives are conceding the ground of automation and artificial intelligence. And you want to tell me you're conservatives? You're not a conservative. Not only are you not a conservative, you're not a fighter for freedom. You're not a patriot if you concede the ground for artificial intelligence and automation. There is a place where technology goes way too far. We hit that place right about yesterday. I'm your host, Royce White. I'll see you on the other side. I want to thank Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer again for allowing me to host. I'm the Hatchet Man. I'm back in the 4 o'clock hour here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the belly of the beast. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I want to say thank you again to Owen Schroyer, Alex Jones, and the entire InfoWars team for allowing me to host this incredible, incredible platform, this legendary platform at this most necessary time. What an incredible honor it really is. I can't say enough about it. In the first hour, I talked about American citizenship, the value of American citizenship, and the effort, the initiative to undermine your American citizenship, and the narrative that many of us have bought into, the rhetoric that many of us have bought into that has distracted us from just how dire and urgent the situation has become. That is what we're faced with, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we're faced with, fellow patriots. There's no doubt about it. There's no more argument. There's no more debate. Our freedoms, our lives hang in the balance. And I use an issue like reparations because as a commentator, I can tell how triggering it is. And I'm going to lay out this reparations plan here in short. No, we're not doing cash. Yes, 40 million black people, which if it's 40 million black people in America, it's 40 million. We don't know. Hell, we don't know. If we can't trust who's counting the votes, how can we trust the United States Census Bureau? Give me a break. We don't know if it's 40 million, if it's 20 million, if it's 80 million. But we sure do know that black people in America will continuously be used as a revolving door to justify rigged elections. They're in Georgia. They're in Philadelphia. They're in Chicago. And a number of other places around the country. Here in Minnesota, even. 10 electoral votes isn't the biggest deal on the map, but it sure counts for something. In a nail biter, 10 votes here in Minnesota is going to be a big deal. They're in Wisconsin. The list goes on. Ohio, Michigan. The battleground states are littered with places that used to be manufacturing hotbeds of this great nation. When we talk about when America was great, what made it great? What made it great was our independence. What made it great was our self-sufficiency. That's what made it great. And part of that greatness was many black communities that were at that time still had the nuclear family. More were married, more identified as Christian, less were on board with the LGBTQ initiative, which barely even existed at the time in the 1950s and in the 1960s and even into the 1970s before the anti-war peace hippie movement that took the anti-war controlled opposition narrative and then brought all of these social and human rights initiatives under that umbrella and then abandoned anti-war as soon as it was advantageous. I had the great Professor Penn on tonight. Please Call Me Crazy. That'll be airing at 9 p.m. Central on YouTube and Rumble. And Professor Penn was alive during this time. And he said it's his theory of the case that the entire anti-war movement was just young, affluent, white liberals in America who didn't want to be drafted. It wasn't that they rejected the morality and ethics of the war itself. And you know what? The proof is in the pudding. As we move forward throughout time, we see that that same political constituency of baby boomers was not fundamentally opposed to war. They were not a real anti-war movement. They may have been an anti-draft movement. They may have been a pro-marijuana, pro-hippie movement, but they were not fundamentally anti-war. And those same boomers are many of the people who broadly support the Ukraine war effort today. Now, we look at a poll like Washington Post and ABC, and we see that Donald Trump is up 10 points in the poll, and that's a good sign. I'm optimistic about that. Maybe many people are finally waking up to the very basic idea that American citizens should not be paying for an unfounded war in the Ukraine, one that was provoked by Zygmunt U. Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, and all the other globalists who have been vehemently anti-Russian since after World War II. But to go back to this reparations thing, we're not giving out cash. My reparations plan, or what I proposed the last time, or one of the last times I was on InfoWars and on my Please Call Me Crazy podcast as well, we were great at a time when Black America was the heart of American manufacturing in places like Detroit, in places in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in Cleveland, in Cincinnati, in Illinois, in Minnesota, all across the country. Black people were a part of the heartbeat of American manufacturing. Look at those places today. Look at all of those places today. Can you not see it? Can you not see that your tax money, you don't want to pay reparations, but you'll continue to pay welfare and you'll continue to pay taxes to let Beijing look like Shangri-La and Detroit, Michigan looks like a graveyard. And we're not supposed to question the racial animus in that. Nobody cares. Nobody has any urgency to rebuild America's manufacturing base. Nobody sees this as the vital national security interest of the nation and the value of our citizenship. How much are we willing to give these people in the interest of our division, in the interest of the emotional investment that we hold and whatever racial animus still exists in this country? How much are we willing to give? Now, I can speak on this because my grandfather was black. Both my grandfathers were black. My grandmother, one of my great-grandmothers, was Mexican immigrant from the 1930s, 40s. One of my grandmothers was an immigrant from Norway. My cultural composition allows me to see this with clarity. We're not giving out cash. Black people, stop asking for cash from a dollar that's being systematically crushed. It's ridiculous. It's silly. Now, what can we do? Well, there's a lot of land to be had. There's a lot of land we sold to the Chinese. There's a lot of land that we're letting BlackRock and Vanguard and Bill Gates covet for their own private political war chest of globalism. There's a lot of land there. There's 645 million acres of federal land. 645 million acres of federal land. There's all the land that Walmart and all these other globalist corporations own. We are in a matter of national security. The supply chain of America is a matter of national security. We must reestablish American manufacturing. How do you do it? Well, it just so happens to be a twofer. And that's why I'm the hatchet man, because I bring you solutions that can solve multiple problems. What is the problem of black people being in these deep blue districts and having this revolving door to justify rigged elections? It's their physical proximity, where they live. You take them from where they live and you put them in the new American patriot cities that are centers for American manufacturing, and you use the Federal Reserve as a tool, as a weapon against the financial stability of our enemies like China. $9 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet that they created out of thin air, and they want you to pay back with interest. You take that $9 trillion, you onboard American manufacturing, and you put black people to work in American manufacturing, and you don't put them to work as serfs or slaves. You give them a piece of the game, a very small piece of the game. Is it 40 acres and a mule? Maybe not. How about 3 acres? That'd be good. How about 2? Is 2 acres a good investment for America to make sure that China doesn't continue to hold us by the balls? And I'm not saying black people are the only people that are going to get land. This American manufacturing initiative is something that will include all people. But when we dock it up there in Washington, I think it's okay to reference slavery. And I said very clearly, anybody who was a slave here in America, any American citizen whose lineage were slaves here in America's history, here in America, if you were slaves, come on down and get land, because we're going to rebuild and save this republic. Because a nation of shopkeepers fortified by the Second Amendment is a safeguard against economic imperialism. We better get real clear and real serious about these things, or get ready for the gulags. I'm back, ladies and gentlemen, the Hatchet Man, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we've been getting into a heated conversation about the future of this country. The future of this country is in grave danger, and we must make hard decisions right here and right now in order to put together a plan to save it. And, you know, reparations or not, who cares? I mean, you call it whatever you want to call it. I just don't like when we lie to ourselves. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself you're not paying reparations when your money's going to welfare continuously and your money's going to China continuously. You're paying welfare whether you like it or not. The difference between a plan like theirs and a plan like mine is that when you give a man a piece of land, you endear him to his nation. And when you give a man a piece of land in a one-time transaction, it's not a perpetual mechanism to steal tax money from the American taxpayer. Duh. These are very simple, logical consistencies. I don't mean to be the arrogant one, but some of this stuff is so ridiculous, I'm having trouble figuring out who I'm even talking to. But then I go back to the knowledge that the political elites who run political campaigns tell me that in my campaign I should talk at a fifth grade reading level, so people who read at a fifth grade reading level can understand you. That tells you, that right there, that cultural norm tells you the state of American intelligence, the state of American awareness of these issues that we're dealing with. I'm not going to bastardize you like that. I think you can get it. I think that you can let go of the convenience of radical materialism long enough to understand the dangers that face this republic and understand what it is that I'm saying to you. You have a large population of people who come from a specific history, a history that is shared with others of different identity as well. There were slaves in America that were white. There were slaves in America that were Latino. There were slaves in America that were African and Asian. There were slaves in America of many different races. Now, how the composition of number is going to play out is going to speak to the history, and it should be investigated, and we should find out what the real number is. And everybody who has any questions about the history of slavery in this country should be open to it. Let's get a real number. Let's get a real number for everybody. And when we're done arguing and getting our rocks off on that merry-go-round, hop off the merry-go-round and come right here and get some land, because it's time to refortify the nation against our national enemies. One of them being China, who we just so happen to get our ZPAC from, who just so happens to be the importer of 50% of America's tires. Do you know what happens when the tire supply chain breaks down? Do you know what happened when the CCP pulls the nipple from your mouth in an all-out world war? Do you know what happens when trucks don't have the tires to move anything? The same truckers who they forced to get vaccinated in Canada, the same truckers who they're now going to automate out with artificial intelligent smart vehicles. Do you know what happens? No, you haven't thought that far. Many of you haven't thought that far. And for the faithful people here at the Alex Jones audience, I'm not so much talking to you. I'm talking to some of you, but I'm really talking to America. Because these transmissions and broadcasts are going to maybe be the final transmissions of sanity and reason or freedom. I'm talking to all America. Do you know what happens if we continue to let the CCP build its position against us? When they pull the rug from under us, there won't be a bottom. Perpetuity. We don't want to pay reparations in perpetuity. That's what you're doing now. They're using the history of slavery and the history of black people in this country to forward some race bait narrative that will justify why you need to pay an exorbitant tax for people to be on welfare. In perpetuity. And in the controlled opposition side, they're bringing people in there to tell you, if we have any type of reparations plan whatsoever, then we're betraying our position as white people. No. What betraying your position is allowing yourself to be unconstitutionally taxed in perpetuity because you're white. That's ridiculous. And nobody's even saying that white people should pay. I'm certainly not. I know some of the grifters and controlled opposition over here in the black liberal-controlled PSYOP reparations crew are. I know they're saying it. I'm not saying white people should pay anything. In fact, we need to go to a no. We need to move closer to a no taxation America than we are a special tax for reparations. Give me a break. We're talking about a country with a treasury and a Federal Reserve that has never been in the interest of the American people, and using those institutions to rebolster the security of America, not only to disengage ourselves from China, our mortal national enemy, but to become a productive country in our own respect, to become an equity society. And I don't mean social equity. I'm talking about economic equity, financial equity. The way we build equity, the way we become an equity society and not a debt society, is if we actually produce things. Not borrow money from our great-great-grandchildren to pay the operating expenses of being a jerk-off society. That's what we're doing now. We're borrowing money from the Treasury to pay for the radical materialism of being a jerk-off society and getting our ideological virtue signal rocks off by funding a war in the Ukraine and anywhere else we are all over the planet. That's what we're paying for now. So let's talk about it. Let's do a forensic accounting. Let's figure out what we really want to pay for and be honest about it. Don't say you don't want to pay because you're paying now. And there's no plan in place for you to stop paying. You will pay in perpetuity until a $20 bill won't be worth 2 cents. I'm back. Royce White, the Hatchet Man, also known as Morpheus, filling in for the great Owen Schroyer here on War Room and for Wars Band.video. Thank you to Owen and Alex Jones. I've been talking about the dire situation of the Republic and the plan to save it. American manufacturing is high up on the list, a cornerstone of my 2024 Senate campaign in support of the American First nationalist populist and Donald J. Trump's candidacy. Now, something between now and then could change my mind, but right now, when the state, the deep state, the administrative state, our political elites go after a man with such vigor, you have to assume they're afraid of him. I want whoever our president is, our next president is, to be somebody who these people fear. They're afraid of Donald J. Trump. They're afraid of Alex Jones. They're afraid of Owen Scheuer. They're afraid of Steve Bannon. They're afraid of Royce White. I haven't come into the crosshairs of these kangaroo courts yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if I was next. And any of you out there shouldn't be surprised if you're next either. If they come for me in the morning, they'll come for you in the night. And my point to talk about reparations, look, you don't want to call it reparations. You get all emotional and bent out of shape when you hear reparations because Sean Hannity's got his hand up your rear end working you like a puppet. Fine. Call it whatever you want to call it. But I'll say this. The American manufacturing situation needs to be handled, and the deep blue districts all across this country need to be handled. I see a twofer. I see a way to kill two birds with one stone. You give a man a piece of land, you endear him to his nation. It's the fastest way. It's the fastest and most efficacious way to do so. One time. And in doing so, we're not communists. We're not all bound to make sure that your piece of land is productive. This is a one-time deal. But we can give it a nudge on the front end because it's advantageous for us as a nation. These are the decisions that a nation and a federal government are supposed to make for the overall health of its nation and its people. Not what they're doing now, using free market enterprise and free trade to sell you out to our enemies. That's what they're doing now. And we can all talk about that, but what's the antidote? What's the answer? What's the solution? The solution is we have to become self-sufficient, and I think Black America could be a very big part of that. If the deal is done right, if the people are ministered to the right way. So, enough of that. When I talked about messaging, I just wanted to say on the front end of this half of this 3-hour guest host spot that I have today, it's issues like that where we show a certain unwillingness to sacrifice our own prejudgments about a given political topic to really save this republic. And we can hold on to those as long as we want to because the ship is currently sinking. The ship is currently on its way down. Now, are you going to be the band that still plays as you go into the water? Are you going to be the band that still plays as the ship takes on water? Or are you going to fight for your life? I know the high is good, the music is good, the sports are good, the entertainment is good, the political porn is good, the real porn is good, everything's good, everything's good, the distractions are great, they're great in number and they are great in quality, the high is good. So as the this was intentionally done that the high would be so good that you would not notice the ship taking on water and continue to play music with the band as the ship goes down. This was Herman Kahn. Go back and look up Herman Kahn. Go back and read into Herman Kahn. Read some of his notes. Read some of his diaries. Read some of his work. Read the ideology and the thinking behind that work. They were banking on a technological proliferation so great that you would not recognize the slow rot of your citizenship and, as such, your rights. American citizenship, it has a value that is currently being sold out at every turn. We have to make the decision now. None of this is out of our control because none of it is without our consent. We consented to this. All you have to do is not consent. No, we do not consent. We the people have the power. We the people are the power. That's the way the United States Constitution was written. That's the way that it's formatted. That's why they are going out of their way to try and delegitimize the Bible so they can delegitimize the Constitution. Supreme Court Clarence Thomas. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, in danger now. Anybody who upholds the integrity of the United States Constitution is now in danger from being framed, from being politically persecuted through kangaroo courts, from being outright assassinated. This is the crossroads we've come to. To spend any more time on any petty surface cultural wedge issues is a sign of immaturity and an inability to be the soldier that most of you, many of you out there, claim to be. It's time to get serious now. The guns are drawn. The lines are drawn. The guns are loaded. The drums are sounding. Emergency broadcast system test, October 3rd. Isn't it Alex Jones that's told you for 20 years about false flags? Isn't it Alex Jones that's warned you about deep state and blackout operations, MK Ultra, Mockingbird? Isn't this been the calling card of Alex Jones's ministry? And yet many of us sit here unwilling to make the sacrifice necessary to fight against these people. It's not impossible. The battle isn't over. The fat lady hasn't sung. They got a lot of fat ladies singing like Lizzo, but our fat lady hasn't sung. It's not over. It's not close to being over. It's only close to being over if you'll sit at home and let the Sean Hannitys and the Rhinos of the world control the opposition. We don't watch Fox News. We don't watch Fox News. Okay. Yeah, you can run that on somebody else. It ain't working on me. I have the pleasure and the fortune to get a multitude of feedback from across the political spectrum, so I can decipher and sift through what people are saying and see the similarities across people who say that they don't consume each other's material. But the narrative always seems to come out the same. Certain points in the narrative. Yeah. Here's another one. Here's another key point in the narrative. Are you going to let white leftist progressives and deep blue districts incentivize criminal behavior and then use that as a justification to bolster a police state? No, you don't know what I'm talking about? Every night that Fox News and all these other outlets show you seven black men going, young black men going into some retail store and doing a snatch and grab, and then tell you that's why we're going to need more. That's going to be their justification why we need more police. So when the vaccines get mandated and the emergency broadcast systems are no longer a test and the World Health Organization takes over, they send the brown shirts to your house to force the needle in your kid's arm. Are you going to be that stupid? I'm not. Go take your class, get your license to conceal and carry, get your weapons and get your ammunition, and get ready to defend your own citizenship. The police will not help you. They will not save you. 70 to 80% of them took the vaccine. Defend the blue, back the blue, who backed Pfizer. Get serious. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, filling in for the great Owen Schroyer here on War Room and InfoWars. I appreciate the time. I've been talking a lot this afternoon, about this American manufacturing crisis, a matter of national security. And I just want to say, to finish off here before we move on, I don't care what we call it. I know the people we need. We need every single American citizen to buy into the onshoring of American manufacturing. How do we do it? What role should the federal government play? How soon can it be done? How soon can it be built? How soon do we get the essential microchips out of the surrounded enemy territory of Taiwan? I don't know. These are the questions that need to be answered. These are the questions that our elected officials, people who are in the United States Senate, for example, like Amy Klobuchar, who I'm running against for United States Senate, these are the questions they should be asking. These are the questions they should be asking you. What's acceptable to you? We the people. You are the people. You are the power. Keep abnegating your citizenship and all of the responsibility of your freedom to these elected officials and complaining when they don't do it right. Go ahead. Keep doing that. Let's see how it works for us. Has it worked thus far? I mean, honestly, I know the Sean Hannitys of the world will tell you, you should all be so thankful for the country you live in. And this is the real juxtaposition of the America First nationalist populist patriots such as Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and the Rhino Republican establishment. This is the real dividing line. Because the Alex Joneses of the world and the Steve Bannons of the world and the Owen Schroyers of the world are going to tell you exactly how your rights are being transgressed, how your citizenship is being transgressed, how your rights are being stolen and taken from you. They're going to tell you. The Rhino establishment wants to tell you, hey, we may have some disagreement on cultural wedge issues, but for the most part, it's working for us. Let's double and triple down. It's working for us. With our lake houses and our 401ks and our stocks and you know, investment portfolios and our wife who runs the household, working for them. And the black bourgeoisie, working for them, taking money off of nonprofits, grifting off of nonprofits, claiming that they're doing work for the black community. All a Ponzi scheme, safeguarded by legal and legal professionals, lawyers, who know the ins and outs of the criminal code or the tax code or whatever other code to protect these people, to preserve the status quo. These are the questions we have to answer now. These are the people we have to call out now. But it dawns on me how many people are actually implicated in this scam at a fundamental level. Maybe that's why it never gets better. Did we ever think of that? Does that ever cross our mind? Maybe the reason this country has become so corrupt is because American citizens have been accomplice to the scam. Well, how do we break that? American citizens have to decide for themselves what's actually important to us once and for all. What is the priority? What are the priorities? I can't say definitively for all Americans. I can't speak for all Americans. I can say what I think. You get to decide. And that's the beauty about this country. And each one of us now gets to decide how the country goes up in flames. Or we can lace up our boots. We can put aside our petty and cultural differences. We can come to the table under the guise of an ideology, of an idea about what it means to be a citizen and what it means to have a country with borders that is independent of global governance. We can make that decision and we can try and save the republic. That's the question we're faced with now, and the hour is late. Alex Jones has been telling you guys for 20 years that this is coming. And you know what? I think Alex has been gracious and nice to give 20 years of his life and a 20-year commitment to persuade the American people and people all around the world to see the truth. I think he's been very, very gracious with his time and his energy. With me, with all due respect, with me, you get an entirely different tone. You get an entirely different approach. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to put my boot up your rear end and tell you how it is. And this is the choices. These are the choices you're faced with. Make your decision. Live with your decision. I'm the drill sergeant. I'm the coach that's giving you the pep talk at halftime. You're down 20. The 20 years Alex Jones spent trying to convince the American people that this corruption was going to reach an apex, was going to reach a tipping point. The 20 years that he spent, you're down 20. It's halftime, you're down 20. Now you got Sergeant Hatchet Man in front of you. Hold the mirror up to yourself. This is not out of our control because it was not without our consent. It is not without our consent. What do we have to lay down? What do we have to surrender? What do we have to sacrifice in order to make a change? Radical materialism, the idea that America's prosperity, America's ingenuity, America's industrialization, America's financialization is a net positive. And because the left often uses these American developments over time, these things that have developed in America over time, as a way to attack the white male identity, we, in response, as a defense mechanism, go to try and safeguard these things. They're a step ahead of us. They got you guarding institutions that don't even benefit you. They have middle white America guarding institutions that don't even benefit them, like free trade and free market enterprise. No, the private market will solve everything. I mean, that's been a hallmark of the conservative mess. The private market solves everything. Not when all your corporations, your big corporations, are in cahoots and conspiring with big banks to sell you out. I guess the free market won't solve everything. Not when your BlackRocks and Vanguards are steering the ship and you don't have a corporation amongst them that's willing to deviate from the course. I guess the open market and the free market enterprise won't solve everything. Where are my free market and free trade cucks? Point them out. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Go over and caucus with the Democrats. Caucus with the communists. And I get we're having an ideological problem because all of our history in the schools teaches us that we should separate ourselves by ideology. So when you start to say things like you should nationalize the Federal Reserve, people automatically go, communism, socialism, fascism. And they forget the fundamental call of duty, the fiduciary responsibility for the institutions that preside over you, like your federal government. What's the point of a U.S. Treasury if not to safeguard the economic stability of a nation and its citizens? That's what it's supposed to do. It's not supposed to continue to print money to safeguard the Ukrainian citizenship. And I know you may not like the choices. I certainly don't like the choices, but we are where we are. Hey, when I'm down 20 at halftime, we may have to shoot a few more threes than we normally would like. When I'm down by 20 at halftime, we may have to take a few more gambles by pressing the other team than we would normally like. If I'm down by 20 at halftime, we may need a couple trick plays and a few miracles to get the job done. Okay. Game on, Klaus Schwab. Game on, Larry Fink. Game on, Henry Kissinger. Game on, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Game on, George Bush. Game on, Karl Rove. Game on, MBS, and whoever else out there is involved in this scam. Game on. And in the next hour, I'm going to talk straight up about Russia and Ukraine, because this is kind of the cornerstone of the whole scam that's taking place right now. I mean, every way you look, what comes out of the Ukraine and Russia war, the war between America and the Western elites and Russia, is going to be a conduit to global governance unless we are well-equipped to deal with the narrative. I'm going to pose a few questions on the other side of the break about this war. This war that so many Minnesota Republicans and Republicans all across the country are head over heels for. Welcome back. We're at the top of the hour here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Belly of the Beast. I'm your host, Royce White, filling in for the great Owen Scheuer. I spent 2 hours, 2 segments talking about the crisis of American manufacturing, the conservative message ahead of the 2024 election, and the need for us to secure these things in order to secure our nation, national security. American manufacturing is a matter of national security, and we have to start to talk about these things in very, very specific, strategic terms. What do we do first? Let's say we win in 2024. Let's assume they don't cheat us. Let's assume they don't throw our presidential candidate in the gulags. Let's assume that the elections have some resemblance of fairness, which is a stretch even to begin with. But let's assume, because we have to plan for the instance where we're able to win and be victorious. And we have to have some level of faith. And I think we've lost our faith. I hear the pessimism and the cynicism all the time. And Alex tells you guys all the time. He says it all the time. Look, no matter how it shakes out, you have to have faith. You have to be willing to fight. He's willing to fight. Let him be an example. He's willing to throw his entire life before the mercy of a tyrannical kangaroo court in order to speak the truth. There's nothing more honorable, inspirational, and admirable than that. And the great Owen Schroyer is following in his footsteps. There's nothing more admirable than that. There's nothing I could say to you. There's no pep talk I could give you that could serve as a greater inspiration than what they've already sacrificed. Let it be your guide. Let it be your blueprint. Where are the demonstrations? How did the anti-war movement age out and become the advocates of a nuclear war? How did the American patriots, how did the far right wing extremists, I got that in air quotes for all of those out there that are listening, how did this movement get caricatured in such a way that we defer completely to Black Lives Matter, the most shill scam organization in American history, to be the symbol of American demonstration and civil disobedience? How have these things happened? None of it is out of our control, because none of it was without our consent. Don't consent. Stop consenting. Start by finding the America First candidates in this next election cycle. Support them. Support them. I don't know how you support them. $20, $5, $1, $50, doesn't matter. I don't even have a campaign website up before this three-hour broadcast, because the money is not really the issue. We're facing an opponent that has infinite amount of money. Go support the InfoWars store. Alex Jones needs all the help he can get. They're suing him for $1 gazillion. Isn't that a sign? They mean to cripple the last transmissions of freedom and sanity. And they're trying to take Steve Bannon out the same way. Do Steve and Alex have some ideological differences? Yeah, but you can see who the common enemy is. You can see who the common targets are. Donald Trump, the same way, may have his own ideological differences. We can see who the common enemy is. Divide and conquer. We can say it as some type of cliche, as a cliche, but the strategy is clear. Divide and conquer. Let them fight amongst themselves. In fact, we'll throw them a bone to fight over. We'll throw them a bone to wrestle over. Meanwhile, we're going to go into their house. We're going to pick the lock, walk right into their house, not only steal everything they have, but we're going to put our feet up on the couch and watch Netflix before we do it, because they'll spend so much time fighting over the bone in the yard. We could take our time while we steal all of their belongings, while we steal their rights. We'll take our time. Russia and Ukraine war, great example of them taking their time. Oh, they're going to take their time. They're going to slow walk it. They're going to put us in the perfect position. They're going to pull their pants down and have their way. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to InfoWars, to War Room. I am your guest host, Royce White, filling in for the great Owen Schroyer, and I appreciate it. Here from the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, these are the last transmissions of freedom and sanity. I want to ask a question here at the beginning of this segment. If we're in such a dire kinetic war with Russia, which we are in, and by the way, the war has taken place without the consent of we the people, the Congress has not officially declared that we're at war. That's kind of been the modus operandi of our D.C. elites in the military-industrial complex since the Vietnam War, that we could go into a conflict, a war, with the American taxpayers' dollar without any official declaration and say that we're just offering aid. We're just giving them aid. Okay. Going into a war with Russia without the consent of the American people or the United States Congress, because nobody wants to be, you know, plausible deniability. Nobody wants to be on the record having officially signed on to a war against Russia or anybody else. Now we all want to sign on and offer our support for wars in secret, in hiding. If we're in such a knockdown, drag out war with the Russians, why is it that the United States military at the highest rung is still in collaboration with the Russian military at the highest rung? Why are we still doing joint collaborative efforts in space if we're on the verge of nuclear war? Not going to go too deep into it. I just want to pose the question and let you do your own research. And the question to ask is, as volatile as things have become between ourselves and Russia, why is it that Russia and the United States are still collaborating with certain space initiatives? Recently, there was a rocket that was a joint initiative between Russia and America and NASA. NASA had an astronaut on the mission, and Russia had an astronaut on the mission. And the company that funded this mission, or that was in charge of this mission, is really a cover for the CIA and the State Department. And another company that was on the docket was SpaceX. And there's a technology called Swarm technology, which is effectively a new satellite initiative that creates an internet behind the internet, an internet for they and not for us, an internet for them and not for us. Oh, there you go. There you go. There you see it right there. Russia. Soyuz spacecraft with U.S. astronaut, two Russian cosmonauts dock at ISS. Maybe this was it. Maybe it wasn't. I'm not quite sure. But in effect, if you look into it recently, there have been some joint space initiatives between the Russians and Americans. And I'm just asking the basic question. If we're suspending with all manner of diplomacy on the ground here at the level with which the war affects free people, affects the common man, not only his pocket, but the artillery shells in the Ukraine or there in Russia or wherever this war will spill out into. If all manners of diplomacy have been abandoned on the ground level where the war affects us, how is it that space is the exception? Well, Alex Jones talks about a breakaway society. I've heard him talk about the breakaway society, and more things may be coming true than Alex can even comprehend. He said so much truth, and so many of you have turned a blind eye because you want to believe the Washington Post is really reporting in the interest of your well-being and prosperity that we can't even keep track anymore, honestly. A breakaway society, you know where it's going to start? With an internet for them and not for you. When they can turn off. We got the emergency broadcast system test. You know the last time we had broad scale emergency broadcast system testing? We were at war. It's always coincided with war. And I said the other day, now this may not apply to many people here in the InfoWars audience. Many of you, I'm preaching to the choir. But some who tune in out there, because we are going on the record in one of the most dangerous times in American history, where the record will be expunged of that material which is not deemed authoritative. It just dawns on me that if the American government came across all mediums of communication tomorrow and said, this is an emergency and it's not a test, we are sending official government personnel to your homes to help escort you to safety, many, many people would go. Many people would march right in line to the trains, to the cars, to the vans, to the wagons, to whatever they bring to transport you. Hovercraft, spaceships, I don't know. Many people would walk right outside of their house and trust that the American government or government all around the world was bringing them to safety, because we trust the initial premise that our government means to protect us, that our government's been protecting us, that the rule of law itself institutionally is a mechanism of protection. Really? The same rule of law that's being used against Alex Jones right now, the same rule of law that's being used against Owen Schroyer and Steve Bannon and the great Peter Navarro and Donald J. Trump himself. Now they're going to kick Donald Trump out of New York City and say that he lied about he overvalued his assets. Are you kidding me? If we're going to start hauling people off to jail or kicking people out of states for overpricing or overvaluing their assets, half of Wall Street needs to be brought up on charges. And it's a sign and a symbol of just the type of kangaroo court tyrannical nation we live in, that Wall Street isn't being indicted right now. They're going after the one person who has political power, who has a grassroots political movement, who has a political initiative, a plan, a strategy, a personality, a level of leadership that could actually change the status quo. Anybody there who's on board, anybody there who's on board with the scam, they're getting a pass. And I'm not even saying it should be illegal at all that you overvalue your assets. The man paid back the bank. The rule is, if you pay the bank back, then it's not bank fraud. If I say, hey, listen, my media company is worth $1 million, and I value it at $1 million, and I get that loan, or I get that line of credit, or I get that liquid operating capital, or whatever it is, from the financiers, from the bank, and I pay that bank loan back. Or if I file bankruptcy within the scope of reason. There's nothing illegal about that. It's common practice in American business. They're going after who they want to go after, and they're telling you a story about the Ukraine war, the war in the Ukraine, to justify it. We're on the verge of war with Russia and China. We're going to escalate the war between Russia and China, And my question is, how do we know that any of this is legitimate? Start to ask yourself that question, because the time is that dark. I don't know if any of what this story is they're telling us. It is not beyond me. I would not put it past these global elites to come together and create a false flag war at a nation level, at an international level, to forward their agenda, whatever it is. Talk about being three steps ahead. We're going to create a new global alliance, a new global economy. We're going to create an entire fourth industrial revolution, and some regular people, some chattel slaves, are going to have to die in order for us to pull off this narrative. Why are we still, if all diplomacy is just suspended with the Russians, why are we still working together in space? Somebody asked Jean-Pierre that question at the next press event at the White House. Peter, go ask Jean-Pierre why we're still working together in space with the Russians if all diplomacy is suspended. Welcome back to War Room. I am your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Honored to be filling in for the great Owen Schroyer on Alex's Jones' incredible InfoWars platform. I've been talking about space and how we are in a full-blown war with Russia, where all diplomacy has been suspended, yet we're still collaborating on certain space initiatives. Is space outside the scope of sanctions that America is willing to place on Russia in this war effort? I mean, how deep does this scam go? Nobody really knows. I think it's prudent for us to ask the question if this war is legitimate at all, if they're willing to stage an actual war. I mean, everybody talks about false flags and what people are willing to lie and do in order to forward their agenda. Maybe they're willing to sacrifice. Maybe a world war is not outside the scope of what they're willing to push in order to achieve global governance. I mean, we all know what happens if nukes are exchanged. Right? We all know what happens if nukes are exchanged. Everybody goes into lockdown. The air becomes contaminated. There's your justification for climate crisis. The WHO takes over, emergency authority. And all you get your wet dream of giving up your citizenship and abnegating the responsibility of your rights and freedoms. Many of you, not all of you, many of you. Many of you need to sit yourself down at night, sit down, stand in the mirror, and ask yourself the question about what freedom really means to you at a spiritual level and what you're willing to do to preserve it. Your own, your families, your communities, your fellow citizens, this nation. Many of you better sit down now and ask yourself that very difficult question, that very real question, because the time is now. The question is upon you. You may not be interested in false flags. You may not be interested in the war between Russia and Ukraine. You may not be interested in what they're doing in space, but I guarantee you it's interested in you. Wedge issues. These are not the wedge issues. These are the real issues. Matters of war. The wedge issues are the things that are promoted to you out in the public for you to bicker over. It's the dog bone. It's the dog bone in the dog bowl to let the dogs fight and chew over and wrestle over. Cultural wedge issues. Mainly race. You don't like it. I don't care if you don't like it. Doesn't matter if you don't like it, if you can't handle it. It's handling you. It's having its way with you. It's very clear that the racial narrative in America has been so strong over the past 60 to 70 years. It has been the dividing line. It has been the impediment. It has been the roadblock in the unification of the American citizen to take back and save the republic. It's very clear. If you deny it, you're lying to yourself. Sure, there's a fight between men and women as well. I mean, that's another pretty solid dividing line. But the feminists would have never had a chance if they didn't get the black community on board. See, they know what you don't know. They're still playing a game of strength by numbers. We have failed to rise to that occasion. And what's scary about it is we have the better pitch. Fundamentally, we have the better pitch. Would you rather be free or be a slave? You don't believe you're going to be a slave? Just listen to what they say. There is such an underrepresentation of Republican and conservative messaging in deep blue districts riddled with crime and single mother households and, you know, fathers who have abandoned the home and, you know, whatever else narrative they got running. There is such an underrepresentation of patriotic and conservative messaging in those places, you might as well concede your freedom right now. Well, I might as well go home and get ready to answer the door when the brown shirts come. And, hey, you can lie to yourself and tell yourself if you want to that you're some American badass who can handle it when the brown shirts come. Okay, we'll see. Time is coming. Time is coming. And maybe you can. And there's one thing that's certainly true. If an overwhelming force, the American people stood up and said no, any government would have trouble trying to contain us. That's why they have to slowly walk you into enslaving yourselves. They have to build up a narrative. They have to build up a narrative because the human spirit always desires freedom. It's in our nature to desire freedom. We reject authority. We reject, if you want to go as deep as you, if you want to go as deep as possible, you could make the argument that free will granted to us by God was the doorway to our natural challenge of authority. And that in God's plan, the only way that men and women, the only way that human beings could really show any genuine reverence and love for God is if we did it of our own free will. And with that free will came the shortcoming of rebellion. Rebellion that we have to sort out over a long, long period of time. A rebellion of God himself, let alone governments. I mean, if we can reject and rebel against the creator, what chance does a government stand? Well, right now, the government's winning that battle. The government's playing upon our nature and our willingness to select for convenience and prosperity and wealth, dopamine. They're playing upon our natural vulnerability to surrender our freedoms. There is such an underrepresentation of this type of message in the Republican Party, in deep blue districts where Republicans need to get votes, if not mathematically and materially, then spiritually, to overcome the rigging of elections. There's such an underrepresentation there, it's almost laughable. And what makes it not laughable is there's almost the equal underrepresentation of this narrative within the Republican Party itself. You can't say that we're going to lose our freedoms in the Republican Party, or now you're labeled a far-right extremist. The lines are very clear. Can all of the people in the InfoWar audience flood the Republican Party through the precinct strategy? Can you call up your local precinct chair and ask to be a precinct committeeman or become the precinct chair? When you're surrounded by your enemies, you find a spot that you can put your back to and defend. Right now, it's very hard for us to be anchored and to make it to mount any counter initiative because we're out in the middle of the field in a shooting gallery. Back up to a wall and be able to see all the threats in front of you. Standard strategy when you're surrounded. Can we get to a place where we can defend? Is there a cover? Is there a hill? Is there something that we can get our back to where we can orient ourselves against the enemy? Let the Republican Party be that place. Let the Republican Party be the place you put your back to and fight for the freedom of this country and to save the Republic. Welcome back. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, for another great guest host hour, War Room, filling in for the great Owen Schroyer. And I've just been asking a few extremist questions over the last 3 hours, over the last 2.5 hours. Now we're now approaching the final half hour of my guest host spot tonight. Few extreme questions, questions you're not even supposed to ask. Like I'm not supposed to ask you all out there who aren't in the Republican Party to go in the Republican Party. Because many of the Republican rhinos in the country, in Minnesota and around the country, have made it taken a definitive cultural position that the Republican Party doesn't want more Republicans. Well, doesn't that tell us you should go? I mean, doesn't what they say tell us the antidote? I think it does. I think it does, and I start to question the sincerity and all the complaining that I hear about the state of this country when we don't take the very obvious action that the establishment leaves a breadcrumb trail to. No, elections don't matter. Oh, well, you know, whatever people say. I don't know. I mean, if elections don't matter and the whole thing is a wash, I mean, you know, just don't let me hear you complain about it. Right? I tell my young kids that I coach and train all the time. You don't have a right to complain about the results of the game when you didn't put in any work, when you didn't spend any time in the gym, when you didn't spend any time working on your craft, working on your skills, when you didn't spend any extra time shooting. You don't get to throw a fit and pout when you miss shots. You don't get to cry when you lose the game, when you didn't put enough work in, you didn't put any work in. That's not a part of being an adult. That's not a part of being a real individual. People who cry, people who are upset with their results are people who often sacrificed a lot in order to be in the position to even compete to win. And that's where we are as American citizens. How much have you put into the game? Does the amount that you've put into the game match your willingness to complain about the results? If it doesn't, you got a lot of work to do. See, me, I was willing to sacrifice $500,000, $1 billion to not let the NBA put a dress on me, to not become a puppet of the CCP in China through some international business Ponzi scheme between pro sports and whatever would be sponsor or corporate partnership that's out there. Pfizer, Kaiser, Permanente, whoever it is. I wasn't going to allow myself to become a puppet in that shit show. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. That's a sacrifice, tall sacrifice to make. The game I love, actually, the game that I actually put a lot of work and time and effort and energy into, blood, sweat, and years, blood, sweat, and tears into, at a moment's notice on principles and morals, I was willing to sacrifice that for the truth. And what has pro sports become? The gateway to the LGBTQ initiative has become the greatest distraction to real, real necessary American politics. It's become the justification for all of us to go spend our weekends instead of organizing and becoming community conscious. It's become the excuse for us to have this fake representation of camaraderie and unity with the people that we live in our community. Everybody comes to the stadium under the rubric of the Cleveland Browns. And we're all here for the love and support of the Cleveland Browns. We just love the Cleveland Browns. Meanwhile, Cleveland's manufacturing got shipped across the country so fast the people in Cleveland didn't even have time to get up and put their pants on to say no. Same thing in Minneapolis. Same thing in Detroit. Same thing in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. Same thing all across the country. People didn't even have a chance to say no. Why? Sports. And here you are. You can see the video rolling of me at the great Iowa State, and I love Iowa State, and I support the Iowa State Cyclones, and I love playing at Hilton Coliseum, and you can see the great people of the state of Iowa and all their love and support. And I'm not saying sports is a net negative. We should be able to come together in the community and celebrate in the spirit of genuine competition. That's fine. But it better not supplement our real involvement in the community. It better not be a means to superficially supplement our real need for participation when it comes to our citizenship. And somewhere in here, our love of sports and our love of superficial unity has surpassed the condition and state of our citizenship. I mean, think about it. We all come together in 50,000 at a football arena on a Sunday under the corporate partnership of a Pfizer. And I can't even say the word Pfizer, and Pfizer is on record for having been sued for billions of dollars for being dishonest in the way that they conduct business. And I can't even say the word Pfizer, yet the NFL is going to collaborate with a company like this and talk to me about human rights and talk to me about social good and talk to me about the idea of community. Every professional sports organization should shed their partnership with Pfizer right now today. But we don't have to talk about the current vaccine, of which the safety and efficacy is in great question. The verdict is all but in. When Joe Biden goes out on the podium and says, "We're going to come with a new vaccine and this one's going to work," just spitting right in your face. Slapping all you people who took the vaccine right in the face. 80% of the cops took the vaccine. Don't forget that. Back to blue. Who's going to back you? Back to blue. Who's going to back you when you don't want to take the vaccine? Who's going to come to protect you from the corporatocracy? Who's going to come to protect you from the white coats when you don't want to take an experimental vaccine? Who's there to protect you? Who's backing you? Are the police or the sheriff showing up in their respective municipalities and jurisdictions to bring down the Constitution and the law on these corporations that think that they're above the law and the Constitution? Or is America all just pay to play? Who's going to back you? Military the same way. Respectfully, to all of our people who serve in the military, to all our people who have served in the military, to all the families who have lost loved ones in service, respectfully, 80% of the military took the vaccine. And we're all supposed to believe since the people who we've charged with our protection are willing to take the vaccine, that must mean that the vaccine is meant to protect us. Well, the one group of people in the country who have a real problem swallowing that pill would be black people, most unvaccinated group in the country. Black people en masse said, nope. Mm-mm. And it's my lack of faith in the police, and it's my lack of faith in the military that informs my lack of faith in the people who claim they're trying to protect me now by sticking a foreign substance in my body. And while I don't agree with much of what Black America has become culturally, and I will fight until the end of my life to condemn all of the dishonorable things that Black America has become, they sure as hell got that right. En masse, these individuals who are undereducated, underfathered, sure got it right about the vaccine. I guess it doesn't take a father in the home. I guess it doesn't take a father in the home to tell you you shouldn't take experimental vaccines from corrupt pharmaceutical companies. I guess not having a father in the home helps you. Welcome back. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here for the final segment of this great War Room show today. I've been hosting since 3 p.m. Central, and I'm so thankful to be able to guest host and instead of the great Owen Schroyer, who's under attack from the tyrannical kangaroo courts of this country. And, you know, for the most part, I've just been getting down this afternoon. A lot of things I want to talk about, but I get passionate and just go off. I'm a ranter. I'm kind of like Alex in that way. We got to be kept on a schedule because we just rant. That's why I got a podcast tonight at 9 p.m. Central. You'll be able to watch Please Call Me Crazy on YouTube for as long as they're not going to deplatform me. Tonight might be the last night because some of the things we discussed on Please Call Me Crazy tonight with the great Professor Penn are surely so dangerous and a threat to the establishment, it's gotten other people deplatformed. You can catch me on Jason Whitlock. I'm Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I was on last night's episode over on his YouTube channel as well. Look, everybody's in danger of being deplatformed now. I'm here in the Free People Radio studio. You can go to freepeopleradio.com and see where you can find, watch, and listen to all the podcasts. I'm so happy to be here, and I was going to talk about a couple of things specifically, but, you know, in all, we're talking about the spirit of this nation, the overall spirit of the nation, and what is going to be the guiding idea out of this crisis. The guiding idea is self-governance. The guiding idea is citizenship. The guiding idea is faith in God. But through our faith in God, understanding that the United States Constitution is an extension of that faith because the Constitution recognizes a creator. And in the recognition of a creator is the fundamental cornerstone of our inalienable rights, legally. Now, a lot of people have done with the law exactly what you would expect, corrupt, tyrannical, crony capitalists, communists, Marxists, globalists, secularists, Christians, Catholics, Protestants, Muslims, rhinos, the list goes on. All of them participating, all of them got a piece of the action in undermining what it means to have inalienable rights. How much are we going to put up with? This is the question we have to ask now. How much is enough? Simple question. Simple question, hard answer. Hard answer is, to stop the enemy means we have to give up a piece of ourselves. The hopeful piece, the hope in it, is that we've created such an incredible radical materialist-based society that much of what we have to give up won't be essential. Much of what we have to give up will not be essential to our survival. Sure, we might have to give up a football game on Sundays or Saturdays. Sure, we might have to give up our NBA season tickets. Sure, we might have to give up our monthly subscription to Fox Plus. Sure, we might have to cash in our 401k and our stocks and stock portfolios and buy land and learn to farm and irrigate the land on our own, buy guns and ammunition on the off chance that things go all the way to hell. Sure, we might have to do some of those things. But we'll still be alive and we'll still be free. And isn't that worth saving? Isn't that worth sacrificing? I mean, everybody wants this grand change, but nobody really seems too invested in making those radical choices. Alex Jones certainly has. Owen Schroyer certainly has. The great Steve Bannon certainly has. The great Donald Trump certainly has. Hell, he didn't have to run for president. He didn't need to run for president. He had a billion-dollar empire. He had a billion-dollar empire. He could have. I mean, he comes from family money. He's a billionaire, safely, soundly, billionaire. Probably living off the interest. Knows the tax code well. Knows the bankruptcy laws well. Good for him. More power to him. Knows the game well. Economically secure. Very, very secure. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to run for president. Put himself right in the crosshairs. At a time when we could all see the country was tilting tyrannical. I think the tyranny started in 2020 with the pandemic. The country's been tilting towards tyranny since 2000, since 9/11. Since the Patriot Act. Oh, and look how they got me. I don't think I could have ended the show any better with the salient example of how the Republican establishment has served as the greatest form of controlled opposition. And like I said in the very first segment, the canary in the coal mine is the messaging. And look at what they named the most tyrannical law passed in the last 20 years, the Patriot Act. Oh, they're going to give you a piece of what you want. If we call it the Patriot Act, maybe all the patriots will fall asleep on just how unpatriotic and unconstitutional it really is. Patriot Act. We got to surveil the entire world and our citizens as well, because you know, the Muslims are coming. Ooh, those Muslim extremists, they're on their way. The Mujahideen are coming. The Taliban is coming. ISIS is coming. Now it's pseudo-ISIS. They're putting more acronyms and names on radical Islamic terrorist groups in the Middle East than they are on the LGBTQ alphabet. Matter of fact, they're running the two congruent. They're running both sentences congruent. They're going to add so many letters and so many acronyms and pseudonyms on radical extremist terrorists in the Middle East and the LGBTQ community, you'll be cutting your penis off and sending tax dollars to Afghanistan again in a heartbeat. The Patriot Act. Let's surveil the entire. Oh, now, and you know, just to add the cherry on top. Now we're going to go to artificial intelligence. Not only is there no more privacy, which is probably one of the other fundamental cornerstones of American citizenship, privacy against the government. Not only is there not any more privacy, now we have such a digital citizenship, digital existence, digital society. We don't know what kind of evidence. We don't know what. It's so easy to frame people now. It's so easy to frame people now, it's scary. And they'll tell you it isn't. I mean, I know they'll tell you it isn't. Hell, I was suspended from Instagram 3 times in 3 weeks, and all 3 times, Facebook came back and said it was a mistake. How was my Instagram account mistakenly disabled? Who has the power to do such a thing? What person, or even more scary, what artificial intelligence software is there at Meta are self-selecting, you know, American nationalist populists and disabling their accounts. On what grounds? On what grounds does Mark Zuckerberg and the people over at Meta have to disable and deplatform a black senatorial candidate? I thought this was about diversity and equity and inclusion. It's only diversity and equity and inclusion for Democrats. It's only diversity, equity, and inclusion for liberals. It's only diversity, equity, and inclusion for leftists and progressives. For us here on this side of the fence, it's tyranny. It's kangaroo courts. It's persecution. It's prosecution. It's execution. It's death. It's enslavement. This is what we have. This is what we've been offered. What are you willing to do? And again, I say to close today, we have the winning pitch. We have the better position ideologically, philosophically. All we have to do is grow a set of principles big enough to go minister that position, that idea. The idea of freedom is innate to human nature. And I don't think there's ever been a better time in American history that we can articulate the danger of losing our freedoms. So why not go on the road? Why are you staying in your house? Here's a start. If you live in a city where there's a Federal Reserve, please go protest at the Federal Reserve. I'll say it again. If you live in a city where there is a Federal Reserve, a United States Federal Reserve, please go protest at the United States Federal Reserve in peace. No need to get wild. This isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. What are you willing to sacrifice? Save the Republic. The fight continues. Don't die a jerk off. And as always, Godspeed.